Blog Talk Radio.
I don't want to be that lie to make a second guess who I'm representing. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not ashamed to confess. I just want you to see that I'm trying. And no, it's not a game. Ain't gonna lose no sleep over what people say.
Thing it needs to be said. Y'all don't really get the picture. Focus your attention on what really matters instead. Believe it or not, I'm with ya. Don't get too caught up in what you see on the ground. I will stay high for him, cause that's just who I am.
AKA Charlene Black Favor. Hello?
You're live.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You're live.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm Minister Charlene, AKA Charlene Black Favor, walking in my calling, Prophetess Charlene. And I thank God for this precious love out opportunity to be able to embrace the will of God for my life. I thank God for this precious time, my God, in this last quarter of the year as we are pushing and pressing onward and forward into the things of God. Hallelujah. And I thank God, hallelujah, for being a God of compassion, full of mercy. He is tenderhearted, not willing that anyone would perish, but that all would come to repentance. I'm so grateful and thankful for this message that God put on my heart tonight. Truly, it is a moving message, but at the end of the message, it is an encouraging reminder. And I also want to thank God for Pastor E, because I thank God for this precious opportunity to be on in his ministry, outreach for soul winning, for encouraging the body of Christ. to remind us, to keep in remembrance that we are children of God, that we are the people of God, that it is God who is the good shepherd, and it is in his will to, my God, have one flock, one group of people that he would call his church, his bride, the bride of Christ. And it only could be done by his spirit, by his word, and by the blood of Jesus. Let's go into prayer at this time. Heavenly Father God, Lord, you alone are sovereign. The heavens declare your glory, and you counsel by yourself, with yourself, because you already know what you're capable of doing, and my God, bringing about your bride. Father, your word tells us in Revelation that the bride has made herself ready. The only way we could be in the body of Christ and the bride of Christ is to prepare ourselves, Father, for your return. Because your word tells us that you're going to come one day like a thief in the night. So as we're in processes of deliverance and in processes, my God, of being made new in Christ Jesus, help us, Lord God, to walk in the spirit of humility, not seeking any vainglory, but seeking to please you. And everybody on the line and on the web link said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And praise God. And we're live on the air, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome, everyone, to the broadcast. And also, I'd like to thank God for the message tonight. And the name of the message tonight is Ego-less. Yeah, ego is in capital letters because the ego wants to be all that it can ever be, puffed up, lifted up, and exalted. But the name of the message tonight is Ego-less. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask that you pray with me tonight so that I can take my time, but also be thorough, be clear, and my God, get out of the way and let God have his way. Amen. Hallelujah. That being said, there's a stirring message that has been placed upon my heart, and with the helping hand of God, it is my prayer that God would lead and guide me to explain, to express this topic tonight. Somebody shout out loud, God, help me to become ego-less. Now, if you really meant it, say it again. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. God, help me to become ego-less. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you said it and you really meant it, that's good because I said it with you. Amen. So ego is a person's sense of self-esteem, self-importance. You know, like if someone says they, whenever, you know, they had their certain outfit on or whatever, they feel there's a boost in their ego. Or, you know, self-esteem. Self-esteem, self-importance, self-worth, self-respect, self-conceit, self-image, and self-confidence. It's all right to have some esteem about you, but to be full of ego is like another balloon effect. If you think about the, what do they call that thing to be in the air? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's like the balloon that they have up in the sky. It's like that kind of spirit, but on the inside. When we have esteem about ourselves in the humble sense, it's a certain part of, certain measure of respect. But with the ego, it has self-admiration, typically for a person that highly respects themselves, esteems themselves, approves themselves, and recognizes themselves. A psychoanalyst says the ego is the part of the mind that meditates between the conscious and the unconscious and is responsible for reality testing and a sense of personal identity. Philosophy says in metaphysics that the ego is a conscious thinking subject. Hallelujah. Ego, a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. Also, the ego is shown by ways of a person's, importance, like the state or fact of feeling like they have great significance or value. If they feel they have substance and urgency of power, influence, and authority. Also, self-worth, that worth, that value that could be, have that a bloom effect could be like equivalent to that of someone or something under consideration to say, oh, you know, their value and they're highly, they feel like they're highly rated. The respect of a person that has a strong ego would feel like they have a deep admiration of themselves, of their qualities, of their achievements. They have due regard for their wishes, their rights over others, their own thoughtfulness, their own attentiveness, their own politeness, their own courtesy and civility unto themselves. Are you following me on tonight? Another part of ego is the conceit. It's wrapped around and engulfed. It's like, you know, full of pride in oneself. You know, like someone being puffed up, having a spirit of vanity and narcissism. And, you know, it's like self-love and self-admiration, self-regard. Are you catching that first word of the dynamic of ego? Self. And this year, God has been dealing with me to overcome the self. 2020 vision, people tend to say with your eyes naturally and spiritually to see clearly what is the Spirit of God speaking to my life. Well, God is speaking to the self this year. Hallelujah. Yourself, myself, themselves, their self. God is speaking to the self in this year. It's like a clarion call. Recognize what's going on in that self. Ego is the message on tonight. Egoless. My God, somebody shout, God, help me to become egoless. Egotism, egomania, arrogance, smudgeness, vainglory. Another part of the ego is self-image, the idea of one's abilities and appearance and personality. Now, don't get it twisted. I understand that we must have a, you know, represent who we are as a child of God, but the ego is over, it's like a balloon effect. You know, you think you put air in a balloon and you keep on, the ego wants to fill it up to there's absolutely no air left to put in that balloon. It's just to the you know, fullest capacity. Self-confidence, a feeling of trust in one's own abilities and qualities and judgment and morale and self-assurance, self-reliance, self-composure, self-nerve, poise, and presence. It's not so much that you may have those qualities, but it is the ego that is running that thing. It's the ego that is controlling that thing. It's the ego that first and foremost must be attended to. Are you following me on tonight? Before I go into the message, it was two things I wanted to tap in on real quick before I go into it. And one is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you travel with me and leap on to Matthew chapter 13, there's a few scriptures here that I pray will encourage hearts tonight. The Bible tells us these people were, they were questioning who Jesus was and all this because of the miracles that he had did. In Matthew 13:55, they were asking the question, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Somebody said, because of their unbelief. Jesus the Christ was on planet Earth performing miracles, opening up blinded eyes. He was doing things that no human being in the earth has ever done, except by the Spirit of God in the Old Testament, by the prophets, my God, that God has sent, and by the Spirit of God as he began to move and perform miracles. Are you praying with me on today? And they questioned who Jesus was. Isn't this the carpenter's son? They tried to downplay and downgrade who Jesus was. But Jesus only commented, prophet was not, my God, without honor, except in his own country, among his own people. Hallelujah. Another passage of scripture I wanted to touch in is found in Acts chapter 19, verses 4 through 16. But here I just want to mention, let's travel over there, Acts chapter 19, hallelujah, verses 4 through 16. And it says here, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12, and went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I want to encourage you tonight that hell knows who you are. Hell knows who you are because God knows who you are. Are you praying with me on today? You can't be who you're not, except, my God, you are putting on a facade. God began to deal with me, hallelujah, in this season. And I posted it on my page, but God began to deal with me. And, you know, it doesn't sound very positive. It doesn't really sound encouraging. But I want to just share that. It is October 2020. The last quarter of the year has arrived. God is on the move, exposing satanic and demonic shenanigans, pulling the covers off of hirelings, unmasking false leaders, uncovering pretenders, stealing posts off of Facebook, preaching it on Sundays. And if y'all know that that's the truth, somebody out there say amen. But God is the revealer of such things. It's a shame, and God does not, it's a shame and does not bring glory to God. It's time to go right back to the altar, to a long time to meet with God and to be transparent with him. We have Jesus Christ for an example of how to walk with God and how to entreat one another. It is my earnest prayer that God will help me bring out tonight's message with clarity. And I pray, may the fire of God break shackles and destroy yokes and set the captives free in mind, spirit, soul, and body, granting hearing to the deaf, sight to the blind, vision to the visionless, and hope to the hopeless. God, have your way and set the captives free in Jesus' name. I began to be awakened at night, at certain times of the night, and God began to deal with my spirit about these particular things. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know, and you feel like, who are you going to talk to about this? Who are you going to tell about this? And you just go to God in prayer. You say, God, you know, because it sounds negative when you say there's false this and there's false that. But God does not, my God, hide these truths in his word, my God. And with that being said, we're going to travel to 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're going to read 14 verses here, and I'm going to get out of the way. So let's travel, run, and skip to 2 Kings chapter 5. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth, fivefold. Thank God for you. I got to give God a praise for the true fivefold. But I got to truly fast and pray and seek the heart and mind of God in sincerity and get a fresh word. Come on, somebody. A fresh word for the word. My God, for the people of God, a fresh word that will break, my God, the rock into pieces, a fresh word, Ikabashanda, that will shake, my God, the dungeons of hell, my God, that God will set the captives free. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. It says here, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. I want to pause right there because many of you have heard the story about Naaman and his skin disease of leprosy. You may have the calling and ability and anointing, but you are jobless. You may have a calling of God on your life, but your car is raggedy. You may have the calling of God, my God, to do great works for God, but your clothes aren't impressive. You may be called by God to do great things and great exploits, but somebody may look at you and say, you just don't move me in my spirit. Are you praying with me on tonight? Verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Pause right there. The little maid that waited to serve Naaman's wife. Never despise the small beginnings, the small things that God has got his hands into. What God is wanting to do in the body of Christ, he wants to, my God, conform our hearts so that we are on, my God, to his wavelength, my God, to be, my God, sincere and sensitive to the move of God in this hour. Verse 3, and she went unto her mistress, would God, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. How did this little maid know that? But nevertheless, God was bringing truth to my God into manifestation. Verse 4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. How many of you know people that are saying things that you said, and my God, if they don't have it right, they'll quote something that you have may have said. But I want to encourage you tonight that what God has called for you to do and what God has called for you to be, my God, walk in it and my God, speak it and let God alone be glorified. Hallelujah. And here we are, we find ourselves in, my God, verse 4. And one went in and told the Lord, his Lord, saying, thus and thus. And the maid said, the maid, this is of the land, this is of the land of Israel. Verse 5. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Somebody say, get ready for your miracle. I said, tell somebody, get ready for your miracle. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. What we find here in verse 6, that the disease that Naaman had was contagious. It was a disease that affects the skin with mucous membranes and nerves causing discoloration and lumps on the skin and severe cases, disfigurement and deformity. Biblically, leprosy symbolizes the defilement of sin, which results in separation from God and the community. And somebody say, God, help me to be egoless. Hallelujah. And we find here in verse 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? This man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. What the king didn't really understand was that the letter came to him to release him. But he was feeling like they were sending him the letter to heal him. Are you praying with me on today? Verse 8. And it came, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. I want to encourage somebody on tonight that whatever God, my God, sends you forth to do, tell somebody God's got your back because he is the one that called you. He is the one that sent you. He is the one, my God, that will equip you, hallelujah, for the work, hallelujah. 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. How many of you know when the Spirit of God begins to speak to you, it is whatever God is saying to do for you to do? I tell you one thing about what Jesus said about a prophet not received in his own country among his own kindred. Jesus told, my God, the people, my God, that he had came from above. He was sent from his Father. Many believed, and many, my God, did not believe. He did not do many wonderful works because of their unbelief. God, sometimes when he tests us, he tries our heart to see, what are you going to do? Just like when he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he wanted to prove them. He wanted them to come and to worship him, to make sacrifices unto him. But he also wanted to prove them to see if they would follow his way or not. Are you praying with me on today? And what we find out that, my God, verse 10, and Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Verse 11, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely tell me, come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Somebody say, don't amaze me. Deliver me. Don't amaze me. I'm so-and-so. And they have these names and these titles, and they want all this grand applause and throw out the red carpet, but I'm not changed. I'm in your presence. You say you're this, but when I come out your presence, I'm provoked. I'm not delivered. I don't have peace. I don't have a calm. I don't have, my God, counsel. Come on, somebody, are you praying with me on today? And we find out that Naaman was offended because he expected, because he was next to the king and he had all these servants under him, he expected Elijah to be some type of pauper or servant that would come there and just do some wonderful thing. He didn't realize, my God, who God had sent to him for him to receive his miracle. Hallelujah. And so Naaman was wroth and went away. And we find out that verse 12, Naaman was still talking. He said, are not Albana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. I want to let you know on tonight, God will speak to you about your condition and about your situation. And he will use, my God, not only prophets, but he'll use, my God, like the little maid. She said, I wish God that, my God, Naaman would, my God, go, my God, to Israel, that he would go and be connected to the prophet, that, my God, the man of God, that the Spirit of God is working through, that he will receive his miracle. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the title. It's about God working through us to do what he wants to do. Think about it. What is the words we want to hear in glory? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Are you praying with me on today? Hallelujah. And so we find out that Naaman was offended because he wanted to be in a river that he felt was, you know, cleaner or nicer or what have you. But he did not want to receive what was the answer and the solution to his problem. Are you following me on today? And he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him. They went near to Naaman, and this is what they told him. And they said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much better then when he says to thee, wash and be clean? I want to tell you on tonight that even in the body of Christ, God has seen a lot of arrogance. Are you praying with me on today? He's seen a lot of pomp and circumstance, haughtiness, and being lifted up with pride in these callings and in these titles, as well as title chasers and calling chasers that God has not called. Are you praying with me on today? And what we find out here was God was wanting to make a believer out of Naaman about who he has called and what he has called him to do. And actually, the motive was to connect, Raymond, to the heart and to the will of God. Are you praying with me on today? Hallelujah. So we find out in verse 14, then went he down to Naaman. Then went after servants went and told him, well, if you would have told you to go to this other river, would you have went there? But verse 14 says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Somebody say, and he was clean. So we find out about Naaman, hallelujah, being full of pride, having a spirit of, you know, where are you telling me to go be? Like he just had a second guess and question. Like, I know you don't want me to go in that water. I know this has got to be a mistake. But what happened was God was trying to let him know, you need to humble yourself. You need to humble yourself. I want to heal you from your pride. Uh-huh. I want to heal you from your arrogance. I want to heal you from your conceit. I want to heal you from being puffed up and lifted up because it stinks in my nostrils. Are you praying with me on today? Hallelujah. Folks got all these titles. They might as well put a badge on their forehead and say, this is me. Nobody has to ask you, who are you? My God. But God was trying to allow Naaman to recognize, you're not going to get the healing that I know that you need until you humble yourself. Many are crying out to God in this shutdown, but God's saying right back to you, humble yourself. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked way. You say, well, I ain't sinning. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing that. And God said, the ego. We got to be ego-less. Hallelujah. Because we find out when he went down, it's a symbolizing, my God, the child of God, as we're humbling ourselves. But guess what? When he went down, he dipped himself 7 times. But he had to believe the word. So he, I guess he had to think about it. He had that leprosy. If this was the only chance that this leprosy would be, my God, removed off my body, I'm going to take a chance. Naaman took a chance on the word, my God, and he stepped into the water. He stepped out of his comfort zone. He stepped out of his doubt. He stepped out of his offense. He stepped out of his arrogance. He called out, shout out. He stepped out of his conceit. He stepped out of his high-mindedness. He stepped out of his pride. My, and could you look at the scenario and his servants watching him? My God, humbling himself, going down and dipping himself into that water, my God, of Jordan 7 times. Hallelujah. According to the man of God. Now, I had to pause right there because many folks are calling themselves, oh, my God, man of God, woman of God. Well, if you are a man of God and a woman of God, then the works that will bring forth fruit meet for repentance, not glorifying self, but glorifying God. Are you following me on today? Anything that you say, anything that you do for the kingdom should bring about a repentance and a turning of hearts right back to God our Father. Hallelujah. My God. And so we find out that, my God, his flesh came right back to him just like the flesh of a little child. And the last 4 words of that scripture said, and he was clean. Somebody say, and he was clean. Think about the ego and all its pomp and circumstance. And, you know, I didn't want to mention this individual. I'm not going to say his name. But he runs the country and all that. You can see it so strong in his demeanor, in his spirit. And God is the only one who is capable and able to humble him. God is able to humble. He is only able and capable to humble the body of Christ wherever he sees the spirit of the ego inflated, puffed up, and my God, flesh on parade. Are you praying with me on today? In verse 15, the Bible tells us, and he returned to the man of God. Now, this is a unique dynamic because Naaman, with all his pride, expected Elisha to come to him, but Elisha sent a servant to him with a message, my God, of deliverance, with a message, my God, to convert him, with a message, my God, to free him from being captive by his pride. So we find here, verse 15, and he, Naaman, returned to the man of God and all his company and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know. Hallelujah. Will you get your deliverance from being egocentric and egomania? My God, by God, you will be able to say what he said. And he said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, oh my God, but in Israel. Now, that's an encouraging word because he didn't acknowledge, my God, oh, there's no prophet like the prophet Elijah. Oh, he sent me a word, and I was broke. The chain was broken off of me, and I'm free. He gave the glory right back to God. He said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, he said, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Hallelujah. He wanted to give, my God, the prophet Elijah a blessing because of his healing, and because of his breakthrough, and because of his conversion, and because of his miracle, because of the miracle that God had performed upon his skin and upon his body. And we find here in verse 16 what Elijah said to him. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Somebody say, egoless. Hallelujah. God wants us to, yes, identify who he is calling us to be, but to be, my God, egoless. My God, Jesus was egoless. He was humble. He walked with his Father, but he, my God, when they said, oh, you know, should we make a tabernacle for you and for, you know, they were thinking of Moses and one for, you know, Elijah. And he was like, no, 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 because he knew his kingdom was not of the world. Jesus died for the world, but his kingdom is for God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I want to say these few words before I close out. Only when you accept to do the will of God for your life, life, capital L-I-F-E, only when you accept to do the will of God for your life will you find relief from confusion, relief from feelings of feeling bewildered, relief from concerns of what people may think or say about you. Where were those people, those same people, when you were going through heck and high water before you gave God your yes to say, yes, Lord, whatever your will is for my life, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to say, I say, I'll say. Where are those same gossiping, negative people when you said yes to God? Hallelujah. Where were those people as you were living your life according to your own standards, by your own way, in your sin? Where were they when you thought you were living right, you were living wrong? Where were they to counsel you, to encourage you, to urge you to, my God, repent and to come to Jesus Christ? Where were they when you were in your wilderness? But now, as you have said yes to God, an unwavering yes, now you get to look at who do you think you are and who validated you and told you to do this and who told you to say that and who has called you to become that. My God, somebody say God. Hallelujah. If we call ourselves something, then that's the issue right there. My God, Naaman knew that he was a leper. He was, my God, an important man of valor. He was, my God, one of the king's high men, but he was a leper. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you that, my God, God is the only one. He is the only one that's calling his people out of crowds of self-glorification into humility, submitting to walking with God. Even though Jesus knew he came down from glory and went right back to glory, he still showed us his example of being our perfect example, moving and operating in meekness, in kingdom authority, in submission to God his Father, fasting, humbling himself. My God, and it is important that we always recognize and know it is the motive to walk with God. God is our compass. Somebody say, God, help me to become egoless. May God bless this message in the mighty name of Jesus. The lines are open. If you have a comment or you want to say something encouraging, the lines are open. You're welcome. And if not, I will go into prayer. The prayer of the believer.
Praise, Praise God. Praise God, my sister. Awesome word.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You was in. Lord, help us to be egoless. My God, Prophet Charlene, mm-hmm. FIFO, I was just in here, you know, as you were just speaking and ministering to us, it just kept taking me, the Lord kept taking me to James 4:10. And when mm-hmm. in that verse, he's speaking to all of us. He says, humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you.
Yes.
My God, as you were speaking, mm-hmm. awesome word.
Thank you.
And I was
saying
something Pastor E's been speaking on too. We have to stay in our lane.
Yes,
God will elevate us when he sees fit. He knows
mm-hmm.
his children. He knows if he needs to put me over there, put me under there for a little bit. My God, you preached a good word this tonight, my sister. I always said, egoless. You said no.
Yes.
You started it off with no self-esteem, no self-importance. And then I heard what you said, that big old balloon that flies in the sky, that's the blimp. The blimp. You're way up there.
That's right, that's right.
Like
mm-hmm.
you, God, looking down on somebody. My God, mm-hmm. this has been an awesome word. Because I always say, we have to, we got to take self, because all we doing is building a Jesus. When we take self out of everything, we build a Jesus, ego-less, puffed up.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Amen.
Thank you for this. This
yeah,
is needed.
Be ego-less.
Glory to God. Ego-less. Amen. God bless
yeah,
you.
Yeah, be ego-less for sure.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on, anybody
word.
Else want to chime in tonight? Go ahead, dial one. We got a couple more minutes to allow you to speak to Minister Charlene and have her bless you tonight. I know I've been blessed by the word. Come on, dial one, get in the conversation now. Woman of God, great job, as always. I hear a newness in your voice. I was just saying, is that Minister Charlene? Like, mm-hmm. you got a new tone or something. So, just blessing the Lord for what he's doing in your life. And you definitely delivered tonight. And we definitely got to die of ego and self and thinking we better than people, you know, and understanding we're all the same if we're children of God. So bless you. Go ahead and pray us out of here.
Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, thank you, oh God, for being our perfect example, God, of meekness, Lord God, of being lowly in our heart, Lord God. Lord, we haven't arrived, and we're still striving, Lord God, for perfection. We're striving for maturity in you, oh God. And Lord, as we encourage one another in the faith, Lord, help us, Lord God, to not lift up ourselves, but to allow you to heal us on the inside so that we can walk in your presence, Lord God, glowing, showing, shining, and my God, just giving you praise, putting a smile on your face, Lord, that you're exalted, that you're magnified, that you are pleased, Lord God, because at the end of the day, that's all that really matters, Father, that we're walking in unity with one another, walking with you, that you're being glorified as the Lord our God. And I thank you so much, God, for working on me, because I know that I'm perfect. I know that I haven't arrived, but I'm so grateful and thankful for your compassion. So, Lord, continue to work in us. Help us to be egoless and walk as sons and daughters in the earth, your priest, your priesthood, your bride, in Jesus' name, amen.
I don't wanna be that lie to make a second guess who I'm representing. And no, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not ashamed to confess. I just want you to see that I'm trying. And no, it's not a game. Ain't gonna lose no sleep over what people say.
You ain't laid down. thing that needs to be said. Y'all don't really get the picture. Focus your attention.